Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scover, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable.
Welcome back as we discuss romances and relationships in our four nice selections this year, Jane Eyre, Gone with the Wind, Little Women, and Dracula. The most important relationship in this book is the Rochester and Jane relationship. We see this relationship so differently, you and I. And so, as, you know, I said there, I know this should be a fun section, you know, because I see this as such a bad. I'll just start off. This relationship is usually seen as a great romance, right? And my reaction to that is, I see it as incredibly dysfunctional and abusive, and even given the accepted societal conventions of the time period in which it is set, that's how I see it. It's very hard for me to see this as a great romance. However, I've read our notes, which we're working from, and I'm gonna tell our audience right now that Sarah E. makes some really good points, so bear with us, you know. But some of the issues that I have just from the get-go, we've already touched on already a couple of them, but like Rhett and Scarlet in Gone with the Wind, Rochester is so much older than Jane. She's only 19 years old. He's 35. This is an older man consistently taking advantage of her youth and innocence, both her situational innocence and conversationally. He comes from a world that she does not come from, and they are not on a level playing field, even conversationally. And he's her boss, you know. I mean, there's no way that she can hold her own in that kind of a situation. So that's disturbing to me. She has a very sheltered and unworldly background. She's very well read. I mean, don't get me wrong. Jane is intelligent. I love her intellect. I love that she is smart and has a great way of seeing the world and thinking about the situations she's in and processing them. But she is, at the most basic level, an innocent. And Rochester knows that. He knows it completely. So his pursuit of her is, to me, very manipulative. He constantly takes advantage of her innocence, her politeness, and by forcing her to engage socially with himself and his guests, like Blanche, who are also on a completely different level than she is even further taking advantage of her quote-unquote lower class and lack of worldliness, and putting her in situations that she's really not, you know, comfortable in. He is keeping her off balance in a way. I feel like his seduction of Jane, once she starts to fall for him, is really manipulative. This is the bad part for me, because he's so much older and so much more experienced. Everything I just said is like compounded if you add a sexual or romantic element to it. It's bad enough if he's just playing a game with this governess chick in his household and kind of putting her in uncomfortable situations. But if you add romance and sexuality to that, oh my gosh, to me that just is screaming manipulation and abuse. It's just, you know, emotional abuse. It's just, oh my gosh. And he knows how to push her buttons. Somehow he's got her number really early on. I mean, he knows how to push her buttons, and he knows how to pull on her heartstrings, which is probably a better way to say push her buttons, you know. So I feel like his whole game-playing, like, seduction of Jane is very manipulative. He does lie to her. He lies to her. He lies to her. He lies to her, period. End of. I mean, I simply have a really hard time accepting that a great romance is built upon a foundation of lies and manipulation, and that's how I see their relationship. Now, I know that you have a completely different view of their relationship, and I love your view of it, so have at it.
Sure. And Alice, first off, you raise a lot of good points about legit problems, especially in their relationship as presented in that middle section of
yeah.
the book.
Yeah.
I never want to forget that until you reach the end page, we haven't really seen the complete story arc of their character development.
Right, but Bronte did not give us a lot. I mean, the end page is like, you know, the end of that book where we get the wrap up of their relationship is at best a few pages. You know, years pass in a few pages. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, but I'm even thinking of the part just where Thornfield Hall has burned down, she comes back, they encounter, that's longer than a few pages.
Sure, that's longer than a few pages, but it's not as long as the middle section.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
So we're getting a lot of the details of this manipulative and kind of abusive relationship that leads to somehow lovingly to a great romance. I don't know. So, but anyway, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead. Yeah.
Sure. First, let's talk a little bit about ages.
Mm-hmm.
In the 1800s, the average age of a first marriage was mid to late 20s for men
mm-hmm.
and low to mid 20s for women. And
mm-hmm.
very important, I'm going to get my museum cap on now. And
yes.
Listeners, forget this image of 15-year-olds getting married all the time. Did it happen occasionally? Yes. Did it happen as the common, this is what age everybody got married at? No.
Yeah.
It was unusual. It was unusual enough that it would be commented on.
Right.
It wasn't the norm. A man was expected to be established in his profession, or like Rochester, he has independent means,
mm-hmm.
and to be able to provide for his wife before he got married, which is one reason for the age gap.
Right.
On to our nice characters this year, specifically, by coincidence, without meaning to,
I know.
We chose three of the four books where there is a larger than normal difference, significantly larger than
okay.
normal.
Oh, wait. We gotta say all four, because Dracula is centuries old.
Oh, good point. All four.
So, all four books have a big age gap.
So, Dracula and everybody.
Yeah, he's the extreme, yeah.
Jane and Rochester, Scarlet and Rhett, and Joe March and Professor Bear.
Yes.
All those have a large age gap.
Yeah.
There's literary reasons for the age gap in all cases. You know, Rochester's been battered by life, he's soured on it, and then he meets Jane.
Yeah.
And she inspires a change in him.
Unbeknownst to us and her, he did get married at that typical first marriage age of mid to late 20s. That
True.
Did happen. We just don't know it yet, and neither does Jane, right?
True.
So, yeah.
True, absolutely. Rhett has the desire to care for Scarlet like a child.
Mm-hmm.
Louisa May Alcott is reflecting part of her father's character and her crush on Thoreau in her writing of Professor Bear.
Yes.
But it is interesting, and we have talked about this, Alice, and I want to hear you talk about it, about how often books in Hollywood pair these young women with older men. And what do you think that says about us?
Oh, Lord, how much time do we have? One of my favorite topics. Yes, absolutely. How often does that happen? All the time, you know. I mean, you can't list the number of books, film, or TV that do that, because it's pretty much all of them, except for in recent years there have been some movies and TV shows that have been produced, written, directed by women who try to take that on, okay? But I think we could say contextually, historically, in literature, in film, in television, you know, and in Western culture in general, we are constantly dealing with a patriarchal system that promotes older men in relationships with younger women. And I mean, it is systemic. I hate it when I'm watching a film or a movie and there's some middle-aged man in there and he's our star, right? He's our hero, okay? And he's either lusting after or involved with a woman young enough to be his daughter. That turns my stomach. I mean, I just can't even deal with that. And our society sees that as normal. So of course it's in literature. Of course it's in film. Of course it's in television. I hate it, but it's there. We don't see the reverse. We don't see older women involved with a man young enough to be her son equally represented in literature, TV, or film. And we certainly don't see that as normal. And the proof of that is because in society, we've given those women labels, MILFs and cougars. We haven't given older men labels like that, you know. So the proof is in the pudding, if you will, that whether we're talking about literature, film, TV, or Western culture in general, we have got some serious gender bias, patriarchal, the demon patriarchy is at work. Join us next time as we continue our discussion in our four nice books, Jane Eyre, Gone with the Wind, Little Women, and Dracula. This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.